everybody. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is Hashtag No Limits. On Hashtag No Limits, it's about people who society has placed limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. The caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells, and then it reforms into a butterfly. As if that is not difficult enough, it then has to struggle in order to get out of the cocoon, in order for its wings to be strong enough to fly when it gets out of there. I'm your host, Shelley Kino, and I am super excited today to bring to you Christina and Jack from Thinking Mats. I have to make sure I say it right, because when I originally met them and we did our little commercial, I said the wrong name. So we had lots of fun the day that I met them at the Illinois Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development Conference. And I'm so excited. So welcome, guys. How are you?
Hi.
Good. Hi.
Thank you. So
what have you been up to in the last few weeks? Oh, absolutely. I'm glad it worked out.
What have we not been up to? Oh my gosh. It seems like like conference time of the year, just from one conference to the other, spreading the word about Thinking Mats and trying to let everybody know who we are and what we're about.
I am so excited that you are allowing me to be part of your journey to letting everybody know what you're doing. When I spoke to Jack on the first day, his enthusiasm and excitement was so incredibly palpable that there was no way I couldn't fall in love with the Thinking Mat. And then when I met you the second day, Christina, and you shared how it started and the journey to get here, I was so excited that you both said you could come on. So go ahead and each of you take a little bit of time and tell us about each of you and who you are and kind of how you came to where you are today.
Okay. So I'm Christina Torres, and we are based out of California. We teach for South Pass Unified School District. We've been teachers for many years. Kindergarten has been my specialty. I'll let Jack go from there.
I started teaching in Missouri, and I moved across the country to California, and I was lucky enough for Christina to be one of my teaching partners, and just her love for teaching and just how she sees each child as an individual, and she tries to help them in any way they possibly can be the best that they are, was just instantly like, wow, I want to be a part of this team. And then when she introduced Thinking Mats to me and our team, it just was one of those things that like we were using in the classroom, but then we were like, wow, we need to share this with as many teachers and parents and social workers as we possibly can, because it really does help each child be themselves and be able to learn how to use their voice and advocate for themselves.
That's awesome. So, Jack, that's interesting. I didn't know that about you, that you were from Missouri. So when I met you, we were both in Illinois, and I'm from Southern Illinois. What part of Missouri are you from?
So I grew up in Southern Missouri, Van Buren, okay. Missouri, right outside of Poplar Bluff. But then I taught in St. Charles, Missouri, right outside of St. Louis for 13 years before I moved across the country. So
wow.
I started in kindergarten, and now I'm back in TK in California. So
awesome. So what early
childhood is my thing.
Yeah. And yeah, based on your excitement and your enthusiasm, and I hope you'll share some of the stories today that you shared with me that day, because that definitely seems to be where you belong. Not saying you wouldn't be good someplace else, but your passion for the little ones, and especially when you're talking about Thinking Mats, it was absolutely definitely where you belong. And Christina, I didn't really get that opportunity to talk with you as much about, you know, your teaching. So how long have you been teaching, and tell us a little bit more about where you've taught?
Yeah. So this has been my first and only place. I've been with South Pasadena for the past maybe 12, 13 years in kindergarten and TK. And then I've done educational consulting work for LA Unified, and I pop in from school to school all over LA County. So I'm very familiar with that. But I'm a California-based girl, so I've lived here that whole time. Okay. A little rain. I don't even know what to do with myself. And any, you know, weather over 70, I'm freezing cold. So.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, you would definitely not be happy here. And you, and when we were in Illinois together, they were getting ready to have a big snowstorm. So, you guys probably were unhappy. Well, at least you.
I was prepared. I mean, we're buddies, so I let her know how it was going to be.
That's awesome. So we do have a guest joining us. And if anyone else is joining us, please let us know where you're from. Just give us a hashtag live. And we have Fran from Southern Illinois. So welcome to Fran. So go ahead and tell me what prompted Thinking Mats.
So I created this as something that I was trying to do for my own classroom and my own students. I saw that they were struggling with solving their problems. I found myself trying to solve each and every single one of the problems and not getting a lot of teaching done. And so I remember driving home that day and thinking like, this is not working. What can I do? How can I empower my kids to be problem solvers instead of relying on the teacher and the adult? And so I came up with this little idea of I'm a big active learner. That's how I retain information. And most of us retain information. I thought, what could I do to have us actively learn how to be problem solvers? And so I created it out of a PowerPoint, gluing papers together into a big sheet that the kids could use. And I introduced it to them. And right from the beginning, they were excited and they wanted to use it. And I thought, well, great. And so by the end of each day, it was torn and ripped. And I just kept taping it back together because I'm like, it's working. Let's keep going. And that's how it got started. Fast forward to the pandemic, we come back into the classroom and everybody was so scared to interact with each other. And when they did, it was like a tussle. And so I remember the day going into my closet and literally digging, trying to find that mat. And I pulled it out and plopped it out. And kids started using it. And so teachers were coming to my classroom and they're like, what are they doing over there? And I'm like, they're solving their own problems. And they were like, what? Oh my gosh, I want one. And so little, you know, I just took little baby steps to start a company. And lo and behold, we have Thinking Mats.
Yeah. And I mean, for anybody who's watching, who maybe doesn't know, because not everybody who watches is a kindergarten or before kindergarten teacher. So tell what it's like. I mean, you gave a brief synopsis there, but kind of like how often do kindergartners and preschoolers come up and say, you know, I have this problem or I have that problem or I'm telling on so-and-so.
So in any given day, I would say in an hour, you will probably have like 20 to 30 different students coming up with an issue. And the issue could be this person looked at me the wrong way, or this person stuck their tongue out at me. This person took the toy I was trying to use. This person sat in my seat. This person got in line in front of me, whatever it may be. It's a big deal to them. I mean, every single one of these things is a really big deal to them. And so we have to treat each one of those things like a really big deal. And what we can do with the problem solving mat is we can teach them to self-advocate and say, hey, you have a voice. If something is bothering you or you don't like something or you don't like the way something is happening, use your voice and tell that person. Stand up for yourself. Use your voice and be able to do that. And when they have that ownership of their own voice and they're able to start talking to each other, it just opens up so much with them, with communication. And then it also just, again, like Christina had said earlier, it allows me and it allows the teacher to be focused on things that might be a little bit more important. Not that every single one of those things is not important to right. that particular child, but something that might need a little bit more of my support. And I mean, as teachers, what we do every single year is we always want to have some gift, these gifts that we're giving to our children and saying, what are they going to take and move forward in life with? And if I can teach them or Christina can teach them how to self-advocate and how to have their voice, find their voice, use their voice and learn how to like solve a problem on their own, like I just feel like I've done everything in the world for this child moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's just huge, because I think we have so many even adults today who could possibly use these just to get like, oh, I can say how I feel. It's okay to talk about my feelings. It's okay to, like you said, stand up for yourself if I am bothered by somebody, and actually have the person that I'm bothered by hear me saying that I'm bothered by them. And then, I mean, it's that's just incredible to me.
And then the other thing about our problem-solving mat is it's a problem-solving mat. So not only are they advocating for themselves and using their voice, but they're already coming to the mat thinking, I need to find some type of resolution to this problem. Whereas I think sometimes older students, adults, we get kind of caught in this loop of, you did this to me, you did that, I'm going to keep telling you what you did to me, and not really try to get past telling what happened and how I feel, and getting to that, like, how are we going to solve this? How are we going to move forward? Are we going to go to two separate sides of the room? Are we going to share whatever it is that we had an issue with? Are we going to high five and be done with it? Are we going to give each other a hug? There's so many different ways to solve problems. And as a teacher, there's so many times where I'm like, oh, I could tell you how to solve this or this or this or this. But if that doesn't make sense to that child, then they're not going to take ownership of that problem solving process. When they say, oh, I'm going to give that person a high five and that's what they needed, or a hug and that's what they needed, 9 times out of 10, that problem is done and it's over. If I tell them how to solve the problem, that may not make sense to them on how to solve that problem. And then the problem just reoccurs again and again and again. So,
yeah, because again, going back to the daily classroom interactions. I mean, I can remember when I was just observing or being in a kindergarten gen ed classroom, because my background is special education. You know, I would be in there and I would, same kids going back to the teacher with the same problems. And so I really like what this does and what you just said, Jack, because having them figure it out on their own, and that whole going to it with, we're going to find a solution, is that mindset is just incredible. So Christina, when you were developing this and when you first were using it, did you see it as it is now, or has it even developed more that it's been in practice for a little while?
Oh, it's developed way more, especially with seeing the kids and seeing how it can be like a healing tool. You know, a lot of our kids have endured a trauma. And so having the opportunity to walk through the process with an adult and, you know, talking through it and finding out that that's healing in itself, I didn't see that, you know, from the very mm-hmm. beginning. But just also, you know, giving the kids an opportunity to practice. We say we want our kids to be problem solvers, but they can't learn if they don't get an opportunity to practice. And so being a teacher and being given all this social emotional curriculum, the one of the things that I saw lacking in every piece of curriculum was for kids to personalize it and practice it. We can teach them all we want, but if they don't get the opportunity to practice it, then they're never going to get good at it. And so that to me was, you know, something that I learned along the way. And we keep finding out all these new ways that the mat's being used in terms of with academics and all these other ways that you can use it. We're super excited about.
So like one of the wonderful, wonderful ways, my students are 4 years old. And one of the things that they will do now, or I will do with them, is we have our 3-step process where they will say what happened. Each child will have a chance to say what happened. Then the second step, they will say how they feel, or point to how they feel because there are pictures. And then the third step, like, how are they solving that problem, or how can they solve that problem together? One of the things that we can do now that it's mind-blowing that we can use the mat for this, but it works out perfectly, is if we've read a story 3 or 4 times, I can hand the book to 2 students. They can take the book to the mat and they can talk to each other about what happened in the book. What was the problem? Then they can step over, how did the characters feel in the book? And then that third step, how did they solve their problem? So that's another way that they can practice the problem solving process and tie wonderfully into comprehension in books. And again, I teach 4 and 5 year olds. So if they can do that, then anyone can use the mat to do this. But again, it's that 3-step visual, physical process that really lends itself to early childhood education.
And another thing we discovered is in kids writing and drawing, we're starting to hear and see a lot more emotions on their characters' faces. You'll see them drawing those emotions that I didn't really see before and we didn't really talk much about. And also hearing it in their writing, they'll talk about how the character felt. So that's been a huge discovery as well and exciting. And science, we didn't know, but STEM, you know, teachers are using it as they'll do a STEM project and they'll have students walk through the process of how it felt, what happened when they were creating their challenge activity, how it made them feel, and then what problem did they solve as they were using their STEM. So it really lends itself to a lot of things.
That's fantastic. So we've talked about it for a little bit. So I know you've got a mat there. So we're gonna switch. So give us just a second, audience, because we have to switch some audio and things. So we practiced ahead of time, but you know, practice and reality sometimes aren't the same. So I'm going to take you guys out and put the mat in. All right. Can you guys still hear me?
We can hear you. Can you hear us? And there's my hand right in the way of the camera.
Yeah, that was your hand. Yeah, and we can see the mat. Now, we can't see both sets of footprints, but I think the audience can figure out that, you know, the part that we don't see has another set of footprints for the person to stand.
A little bit.
There we go.
Technology.
Right, yeah. Okay. That's good. Well, I mean, we get it, because you guys, So go ahead and walk us through.
Okay, so I'm going to step over here. So what will happen when we're using the mat is 2 students will actually step on the footprints on either side of the mat. They'll come to the mat. They'll talk to each other about what happened. One of the things I think I shared with you, Shelley, the week of the conference that we're in, it's one of, you know, many, many times that I've watched my students use the mat, but 2 students were kind of arguing over a puzzle. And one of the other students that was near them said, why don't you guys go to the mat? And so the 2 students walked over to the mat. They stood on either side and they told each other what happened. One student said, I got the puzzle out. I want to put in the last puzzle piece. And then the other student was like, well, the puzzle piece was in my hand. Like I had the last puzzle piece to put in. And so they both said what happened. And then they stepped over. And the student that got the puzzle out, he was really able to name his feelings. He knew exactly how he felt. He said he was angry. He got the puzzle. He got to put the last piece in. The other student knelt down and said, pointed like this, because he wasn't able to really say how he felt, or he didn't feel comfortable saying how he felt at the time. So he pointed like this. The angry student goes, wait, I was going to make you cry? We were just doing a puzzle. So right there, it was like the opening of feelings and then realizing how the other child felt. Then they stepped over and they said, okay, we're going to paper, rock, scissors to see who gets to put the last piece in.
Oh, wow.
Angry child actually is the person who won the paper, rock, scissors. He walks over and I kid you not, he goes, you know what? You can put the last piece in, and handed it to him. And I mean, here's the deal. Does it always go perfectly like that? No, but for the most part, that is exactly how it happens in my classroom. Now, if there are some times that they come up with a solution, like we're going to take turns, or you can use it first, then I can use it, or whatever it may be, and they don't get the resolution that they want, my students will go, Mr. Hall, we're going back to the mat. And they'll take themselves back over because they realize, look, we tried to solve this problem. We didn't do it the way that we thought it was going to. So let's come back over and talk and tell each other how we feel and work on this again. And for me, like, that's huge because, again, it's not me telling them, okay, this is what happened. This is what I saw that happened. this is how I saw that you might have felt. This is how I think you should solve the problem. They're actually using their own voices. They're naming their own feelings. They're sharing their feelings with each other. They're coming up with their own solution to the problem, which for the most part works out wonderfully. So that is the map.
That's awesome. So one of the stories you did tell me, Jack, is that okay? So I'm going to switch and we're going to go, I'm going to take the mat out and put you guys back in.
Okay.
Okay. So one of the stories that you told me was about a student who, echo. Okay. So you told me about a student who had come to you and wanted to take you to the thinking mat.
Yes. So this also happens. So the mat is wonderful for student to student, student to teacher. Sometimes the teacher will take the student to the mat. We've even had parents come in and talk to their child on the mat that way. But yes, one of my students took me to the mat. She was like, I need you to come over to the mat. And I was like, okay. And she was like, she told me, she's like, so you seem to always call on the same people. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm calling on people. It's like what my part of what happened. I'm calling on the people that I see raising their hand. I didn't notice I was doing that. So then we stepped over and she pointed to the emoji of like the crying. She's like, it makes me sad that I don't get called on as much as I would like to. And, you know, I also pointed to being sad and told her, I was like, yeah, well, it makes me sad because I don't ever want any of my students to feel that way. I try to call on everyone equally. I'm really sorry, you know, that, you know, that's how you felt. And so then we stepped over and I said, this is a way I know that I could try to solve the problem. If it works for you, I went over and I have this cup of sticks that I use quite often anyway. I just had not started the year using them yet. And I said, look, this cup of sticks has everybody's name on it. And I can just start pulling out the sticks when I'm calling on someone instead of, you know, pointing to someone. Would that work for you? And she goes, yeah, that will work. And I said, can you please let me know if I go over and I start calling on people, will you just point and say, Mr. Hall, get the sticks and remind me? And it just worked out wonderfully. And again, like I use the sticks quite often. I don't know why in my brain of everything that's going on, yeah. I had forgot to start using them at the beginning of this year. So she helped me out to introduce those. We introduced them to the whole class. It worked out wonderfully.
And so, I mean, that to me, it says a lot about you, that you were willing to listen to her and go through those steps. But the fact that she then had some ownership in that, like, oh yeah, by the way, Mr. Hall, you know, this is my job. Like, you know, I bet she was on it.
She still is.
But that, I mean, that's just incredible to think of all the ways that, I don't want to call it a simple solution, but it's not complex. I mean, it's like there, you have these three steps and you do the three steps. And what happens when you first introduce the mat to a class?
So last year, what I did, so Christina and I both have another teaching partner. I have a TK teaching partner that I work with, Janet, and then she has a kinder teaching partner, Christy. But our two classes are right next to each other. We have glass in between us. So the four of us kind of work together as well. But last year, Janet and I, at the beginning of the year, the first week, 2 weeks of school, we would bring out the mat. We would role play different scenarios with toys or different tools in the classroom, scissors, pencils, different things. And we would just role play like, hey, this is the conflict that we're having. How are we going to use the problem solving mat to solve our conflict? Which works out, you know, it worked out wonderfully for us. I would say like within the first 2 weeks, we kept going back to it. Within the first week, we had some students trying it out, but we just kept going and role-playing it until everyone in the class felt comfortable using it. This year, however, Christina finished a book. It's a children's book that actually steps or takes the children stepping through the process of using the problem solving mat. And just like Christina told the story earlier where she went and got the mat out of her closet, that's actually in the book where two students are having an issue. She goes and rummages through her closet. Like most of the teachers that I know, we have so many things that we need to go and look for and find. She finds the mat, she brings it out, she sets it down, and the two students go through the process together in front of the class talking about it. And I'll tell you, at the beginning of this year, when I read the book, I read it at the beginning of the week and at the end of the week. The first time I read the book, my students were pointing to pick. They're like, Mr. Hall, that's in our classroom. I saw that in our classroom. I was like, it is in our classroom and we're going to use it this year. And I kid you not, the first day that I read it, my students were already starting to use it. And it's just, it worked out wonderfully this year, just having the book to read as just another way to introduce it. Both ways worked. Introducing it with role playing and then introducing it, reading the book. And there are times that even this year I've went back and I've kind of role played a couple times just to kind of give them again, just another way to see it being used. Especially when we started with the books, where I would hand them a book and they would talk about it. Mrs. Lim and I role played that so that they could see, hey, this is another way. This isn't my problem that I'm having. It's a problem that the character in the book is having, but we can still use the mat in that way. So that's kind of how I introduced the two ways. And if we had thought about it, we would have the book to be like, right here. But
well, it was in the promo videos. In one of the promo videos, you held it up. And but what is the name of the book?
Every Problem Has a Solution.
Okay. And it's by Christina Torres.
And is that book, can you purchase that book separately from the mat or do they come in a kit?
Yes, you can purchase it separately. You can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it on our website. And we also have the tablet version as well.
Oh, okay.
You can buy them together.
Yeah.
I would buy them together.
It probably makes more sense if you buy them together, because if you're reading a story about a thinking mat and you have one there, exactly what your example was, Jack. But if you're reading about it and you don't have it, it might not have quite the same impact. Right. Like you said, if they would be able to get out and practice it. So we've talked a lot about the 4 or 5, you know, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6-year-old range. But I believe that you told me that it's used really K through 12.
Yeah. So I was at KidsCon this past summer, and we had a student reach out to me who wanted to go back into high school, but was unsure about it. And it ended up being because of the social interactions. He didn't have a lot of practice with those social interactions, and it made him very anxious, wondering what that would look like. So he got me started into asking me to make one for an older kid's version. And so we did that. And school counselors have been purchasing it to do mediation in their offices. We've had middle school and high school teachers buy it, and they keep it rolled up in their class. And as a situation happens, they hand it over to the students and they go out in the hall and they work it out and they come back in. We've had, the older kids now, they want it as well. And so we, you know, rush to get it to market. And so it's doing really well.
That's awesome. Go ahead, Jack. I thought you were going to say something.
I was going to say, and then also our original mat, we actually have in 4 different languages. So we that in English and Spanish. We're at a dual immersion school. So one of our teachers at our school, Christina, the two of them worked together to create the Spanish mat. And then we also have a Mandarin mat and a French mat as well.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, That's just so amazing. And the fact that it can be sort of adapted, it sounds like you've already kind of adapted it, but I mean, even more, I mean, people are using it already for things that you hadn't imagined when you were developing it to begin with. So the students that you, because how many years have you had the mats that you've been using them in your classroom?
So we've been using them in our classrooms for the past 6 years. It's been around, the business has been around for 15 months now we're going on.
Okay. Okay. And so the reason for wanting to know when they started in your classroom is the kind of the follow through. So how are the kids that you started with? So they would probably be fifth or sixth graders by now, right?
And and so my mats started in my classroom last year. So I've been using them for 2 years. So my students are actually, my TK students have moved on to Christina. And so instead of her needing to introduce them to all of her students, like my students already came knowing how to use that tool and being able to share with other students that were not in my TK class.
And interestingly enough, not that I, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is a lot of my students who've been coming out of my kindergarten class, I have noticed that they have all been taking on school leadership positions. So whether it's serving on student council, whether it's the president of the school, they've all been taking on leadership positions. And it would make much sense because they're constantly practicing how to own their voice and how to be comfortable in it, and owning who they are. And so that's something that I've really recognized a lot lately.
That's fantastic. I mean, there's just so many positive and wonderful things that can come out of this. Are you aware of anybody introducing it at a higher grade level? Never, their students have never seen it before, and how successful it was. I know you said that you had some high school teachers that would pull it out, but so I guess that's the, I guess that is the example. They've never seen it before.
Yeah. So this, we have just brought out these new mats fairly recently. I would say in the past, maybe 2 months. So it's still brand new. But after they purchase, you know, after, you know, a 3 month, after they've used it for 3 months, then we send out a survey and just get a little feedback on how it's going, how it's working out for them. So we haven't done that yet because these mats are still new, but we'll definitely keep you updated on the progress that teachers are finding using it with the older kids.
Yeah. So how is it different? Or is it that much different compared to the mat that we just saw a few minutes ago at the upper grade levels? Like, what might be slightly different about them?
Yeah. So where you would see the emojis in step two, there's a lot more emojis and it's their language. So as I was creating it, you know, we reached out to middle school kids and high school kids and we asked, what kind of language would you use to describe like your feelings? So you'll see it says nervous and frustrated and feeling left out and all of those older kid vocabulary. So there's much more vocabulary on it and then a lot more emojis.
And so the another thing is like on the mat that we showed you already, there is our two children on the older grade mat, the upper grade mat. They're non-gender specific. And then when she was talking about the more emojis and in their verbiage, all of those emojis actually have words attached to them. So they can either read the words or they can point to the picture, or sometimes being able to point to the picture will help them understand what word to name that feeling with. So again, that's more of the upper grade, whereas like my students probably wouldn't need all of the words. That might just kind of like actually be more taking away from their focus on their feelings. They're able to name the feeling by pointing to the picture, but they don't need the word right off the bat.
Right. Gotcha. Sorry. I muted my phone. I don't know if you all can hear it dinging or not, but so one of the stories I remember, and I can't remember which one of you said it to me, but so, you know, when we're thinking about these mats and, you know, there's the step and the step and the step, what do they do when the, like out on the playground where the mats aren't there?
So at the beginning of this is again, this woman, she's just great. She just keeps like, as something arises, she's like, wait, I have an idea. I'm going to do this. And so before, we now have playground decals. And if you want to talk, do you want to talk about them or do you want me to tell my story first?
Please.
So the story is like my students use the mat so often that they were going in from recess, trying to go into the classroom to use the mat when they were having an issue. But when we're on playground duty outside, there's nobody in the classroom for them right. to go in with. So then it's like this, like, okay, do I stand in the doorway because they're using the tool that I want them to use? Or do I bring the mat outside? And then it gets dirtier because it's outside. So then she created the playground decals. And
yeah, so they're like, they're much larger in size, and we ship out to the school. It's like a decal sticker, and it sticks to concrete and asphalt. So all you have to do as a teacher is just sweep off the area and stick it down, and it'll last there for a good while. Kids can run through it, ride their bikes over it, bounce balls on it. It's made for outdoors, and it's the same exact image, just a lot more big, just bigger. And schools love it. They love it because it gives more kids access to the mat with each other. So now yard duties, you know, all they have to do is anytime the situation arises, you just guide them to the mat and they handle it out, and then they're back off playing. So it's been a game changer for us.
Yeah. And I mean, the two settings that we've talked about the most, the kindergarten and under, and then the playground, those are the two biggest areas that I can remember tattling happening. And I just, when I was talking to you both that day or those days, I just kept thinking, this has just got to decrease the number of tattling that goes on. And I remember teachers, again, in the gen ed classrooms, you know, that had tried to come up with all kinds of different solutions to get the student to tattle to a bear or tattle to a box, or, you know, because otherwise it was, they were constantly being bombarded by little kids coming up and saying, well, you know, this person did that and that person did this. And so this is taking care of a lot of that, I imagine.
And honestly, in the years I've been teaching, I think sometimes tattling is, it comes from a student just wanting to be heard. Like, I want to say something and I want someone to hear me. And so this kind of, like, instead of it always being the adult, it's the person that actually needs to hear the child. Like, hey, I want you to hear me because you're the one that I'm having an issue with, or that I, you know, I want to come to some resolution with. Now, that doesn't mean that the student doesn't still come up. It's one of my favorite things that they will kind of, not really tattle, but they'll come up and say, Mr. Hall, we went to the mat and we solved our problem, and this is how we solved our problem. I'm like, fantastic. Let me know if you need anything from me. And then that right. way, like, they're still being heard by the person they had whatever the issue was. And then they still get to go over and say, like, look at me. You know, I'm using my voice. And they get to be heard that way. And then it's just like, it's a positive circle all the way around of, again, giving them ownership and giving them a tool that they can use and then feel really, really good about, hey, you know, I use this to, you know, to help myself and to help the people around me. Yeah. So it's just, again, it's a game. We say it all the time when we're introducing it, but it is a game changer. It really is. In 18 years of teaching, I don't know that I've ever had a tool that is so useful for my students and useful for me. And it's simple enough that it can be introduced at the beginning of a year for four-year-olds, and they get it like that, and then they're able to use it. One of the other examples, I don't know if I told you at the conference, and obviously the decals are amazing and I love those. But one of the things that I saw two of my students doing at end of last year before we had the playground decals, and it just makes me like so happy, like want to cry, but like happy tears. Like, they're outside at recess and they're having an issue and they're literally standing apart from each other, and then they step over. And they're talking, and then they step over and they're talking. And I was like, of course, I run over. I'm like, hey, what just happened? And they're like, oh, we don't have a mat outside. So we just went through the three steps outside anyway. And I'm like, so to me, like, they've used it so much that the process is just there. And again, it's like one of those things where I'm like, yes, I'm giving them something that they now can go and use anywhere. So,
right. Yeah, yes. And that That's so, sorry, Christina. That's so amazing. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say yesterday there were two boys in my classroom and they were really heated about a situation with kicking the ball and to the point where they were yelling at each other. And so I said, you know, let's take it to the mat. And they went through the process and they were really upset at step one. And I tried to not intervene because I could see that they were both processing what each other was saying and they were hearing each other. And by the end, they worked it out completely on their own. They made promises to each other and they were off playing throughout recess. And I thought, wow, how powerful is this? And I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, what if we did not have this tool for them? I wonder what that would have looked like. I'm sure. Right. That anger would have carried into the classroom and they would have been sitting with that. And here they got to let it all go and be kids and back to having fun with each other and just doing what they're supposed to be doing, coming to school to make friends, have fun, and learn.
And she kind of touched on something that is asked quite a bit when we go to conferences or we introduce the mat. Like, what do you do with it? Where is it at? Mine's out in my classroom. It's available for my students to use whenever they want. It's out at recess for them to use whenever they want. Does that mean that every single time they go on their own over there? No. Sometimes they will come to the teacher, myself, and say, I'm having a problem. And I, you know, and that's when I can say, well, did you guys take it to the mat? Did you use the problem solving mat yet? And just kind of remind them that that tool is there. So that they do go over, because we get asked quite a bit, like, well, do your students just go on their own? Well, quite a few of them do. Do some of them need to be reminded? Yes. And then another question is, well, when they're there, do you just let them go? Well, sometimes, yeah. If it's about like who has what crayon or you looked at me, a lot of the times I will let them go. Now, I've got my eyes everywhere always, but like, There are some that I'm like, I don't really, really need to be over there for that. Like, even if they go to the mat five times about that crayon, they're still working on their problem solving in their own time. Are there times, though, that it might be more heated like this, that I will stay in the close proximity to kind of hear? And if I do need to intervene, because, again, they are 4, 5, 6 years old. Sometimes they do need somebody there to help guide them through the process. We're not saying like, here, you throw this down. You don't ever, ever worry about problem solving again. You just let them figure it out. There are times that I will still sit right there with, okay, you said how you felt. Now it's his turn to say how he feels. Okay, you know, okay, how do you think you should solve the problem? Okay, how do you, oh, you're coming up with two different ways to solve the problem. Do you want to try one and see if that works and then try the other one? So there are times that I'm still guiding them. It's just those times are less and less and less. It's more, again, for me to use the process and be right there with them for the more, dire situations that they really, really might still need someone to be there and listen and hear and guide. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And sure. I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you like if there were any sort of parameters or any sort of guidelines that you set up with the students, like, you know, I'm even thinking like for some kids, especially the older kids that are going to have a lot more emotions and maybe a lot more to say, that maybe there might be a need to have an intervention of a timer and like, you get to speak for 2 minutes and then your 2 minutes is up and now you get to speak for 2 minutes, you know, or something like that. Has that ever come up to you so far?
It hasn't. And I mean, I think that obviously with any tool, you want to have some guidelines and some things, but I think a lot of what we're trying to do is allow them to have their voice and be heard. And sometimes 2 minutes is not going to be enough time to say everything I want to say. But it might be more of like, okay, you say how you feel, then give somebody else, kind of like what you just said. So like, but I mean, that hard 2 minutes might be like something to where somebody starts to feel a little bit more anxious of like, oh, I've only got this much time to say what I need. Like, I don't know. I think there would have to be.
It was just a number. Yeah.
One of the things we suggest with teachers is, you know, say when they're stuck, because the older ones, when they're first starting to use the mat, they'll get stuck at step one. And so that teacher will need to step in and validate what they heard from one person and what they validate what they heard from the other and kind of guide them along to step two. But the little ones, I mean, you know, for the most part, they just want to talk it out and they're functioning from step three. So we want to get everybody functioning from step three. That tells us, you know, that it's working.
Yeah, definitely the first step for some of the older students of what happened. Because it's like, well, I'm going to say what happened. And then the other student might be like, no, that's not what happened.
Right.
But it teaching them in the process of like, what is your perception of what happened? You get to say what you saw or what you felt happened or what you perceived happened. And then the other person gets to say. Because a lot of the times, that's where conflict is, right?
Right.
Like, where I was doing XYZ, you were doing ABC. I wasn't trying to upset you. This is what I thought I was doing, but you perceived it a different way, or, you know, your reality was different than mine. And so being able to talk through those things, I think, I mean, even in, you know, personal relationships, a lot of the issues will come from just not understanding where the other person was coming from.
Right.
And so just being able to say like, this is what happened. Okay. What did you perceive happen? Okay. How did that make you feel? How did I feel? Okay. Obviously, in step one, what I thought was happening was not the same as what you thought was happening. So how are we going to solve this? Maybe we just need to communicate more. Maybe we need to give each other some space. Whatever it may be, it can be used wonderfully for older students. And I think that as our students move up, like our younger students, and they've used this process, mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to get hung up in step one. They're just going to be able to say like, hey, this is what happened. This is how I felt. Let's solve it. Not this is what happened. No, that's not what happened. This is what happened. No, that's not what happened. So the more that they use it and understand like each person gets a voice and each person gets a turn, we think it will work way better.
Yeah. Here on this campus, it would be, you know, the next teachers who didn't have a mat, they would reach out to us and be like, oh, we need that mat because these kids already know how to use it. And so that, because they know they already have that process down, you know, where the kids are like, wait, where's our mat in here? Because they're so used to having a process to like work through.
Or Christina has had this quite a few times. I've had it once so far, but like where a student will go home and then the parent will reach out and be like, hey, my child's talking about this mat that's in your classroom and they're having an issue with brother or sister. And I think we need one. Like, I think we need one at home. And I'm like, well, here it is. This is how we use it. If you would like one, you know, this is how you can get it.
Or they'll go home and they'll make their own, which I love, you know.
That's so awesome. I'm trying to figure out how we can get world leaders to get on these mats and solve some of their problems.
Maybe we can. The more we do this.
That's right. That's right. Someday you'll be at the White House. You and the president will be on.
I have DM'd quite a few of them offering them a mat. Nobody has ever responded, but I'm trying.
That's good. You keep trying. It'll get out there one day. Yeah. So I really do see this. I mean, as it continues to grow, as kids grow up with this, you know, and just that, I mean, there's so much great stuff involved. I mean, all the things that you talked about, incorporating the academics in different ways, empathy, when you're doing the things with your stories, Jack, and you're having them go to this, you know, well, how did the character feel? You know, that's so huge, because I think that's lacking in a lot of people in society. And I'm talking adults, not children, that we don't have empathy or we don't feel empathy. And it has been, that is something I know I taught my students in special education world often, was putting yourself in someone else's shoes. And that's exactly what you're doing by incorporating those stories. Yeah, I mean, having them, I'd be curious to see what their own hand-drawn mats look like. Like if they have different emotions on them, or if they have, you know, how theirs differ from yours. But yeah, I continue to see this evolving over the years. And I can't wait to watch your journey and just to continue to be an observer and going, I know those people and they're doing this amazing thing and they were on my show and look where they are now. So don't forget me when you're really big. Okay. You remember that I helped you when you were, you know, smallish. So we do need to wrap up. I do want to pull up your website really quick. And I do, because this is going to be at some point an actual podcast. And so the Thinking Mats is truly thinkingmats.com. And so the website here, I scrolled down on the page. So, you know, you've got a picture of the two kiddos doing it. And then you've got some teachers showing how to do it.
Teaching partner. And those are all of our students.
They're so cute.
Fit in the past. Yeah.
Yeah. And so on this page, they can find out, like, here's the price list. And then up at the top, you've got, you know, the shop, the gallery, about us, frequently asked questions, and contact us. So it sounds like you are, you know, out at a lot of teacher conferences. That's where I met you. So you're getting the word out that way. They can reach you through here. Is there any other way that you have that you would want to say that they could reach you through?
Instagram. We would love more followers so you guys can see our journey, but also see all the new things that we're coming out with and, you know, promotional stuff. So yeah, we would love to have more followers on Instagram. We are at Thinking Mats.
Perfect. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much. It's been such a joy to get together with you again today and chat with you and learn more about each of your journeys. Yeah, absolutely. So to my audience, join me next week. I will have another organization that I met at the Illinois ASCD conference, Squiggle Squad.
They're great. They're amazing.
Yeah, I was going around and I saw you guys talking to them. I'm like, hey, these guys are great. And hey, these guys are great.
We love that.
There were some really awesome organizations there. And so hopefully I can continue to go to those and continue to find resources like yours that I can bring to my educators that watch this. So have a great day, guys. And thanks again for being here. And I will see all of you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.